world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's another Wednesday night in the middle of October. My name is BJ Rickard. This is Jim Hockaday's internet radio show, The Abiding Presence. You can log on to our website, www.theabidingpresence.com. If you're picking up the show through Live 365, we've got a lot of things under for your consideration and theories. These are letters and theories and thoughts and perspectives that Jim and myself have put on the site, and we refer to them all the time. So it's kind of handy if you take advantage of that and check them out. Tonight, I'm the only one in the studio, which means that I have plenty of snacks laid out comfortably because I don't have to share. Jim is on the road, and he's been in Connecticut. He's actually in Newtown, Connecticut, and Grace Christian Fellowship, and the pastor there is Pastor Barry and his wife, Sheila Fredericks. Okay, so you were on the phone a minute ago. You better be there now. Are you there?
I am here, BJ.
All right. Well, good. Just making sure.
Okay. Because, you know,
well, how far away are we? Would that be 1,200 miles?
I think it's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course it is. Anyways, all right. The last couple shows we've been, what do you think? Just because, see, I'm the only one in the studio and I have snacks and you're on the phone. So that means.
Who's to say I don't have snacks?
Yeah, but I know. Yeah, but see, I have much. Okay. You eat healthy. I eat fun. So
okay.
if you're listening to the show right now, who would you rather hang out with? You who eats healthy or the guy who eats fun and gets mad if they aren't good potato chips? Hello, everybody's racing to be with BJ, where the fun food is. Okay, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about sin. We've been talking about God, how it's absolute and how he doesn't grade on a curve and it's really, it sounds like a whole bunch of subjects, but what really is that this really boils down to a couple of things. Number one, do you believe in God? Number two, do you believe that you are a spirit being? Number three, do you believe that everything of this world is bad, that it's of the flesh, that it's not of the spirit world, and your spirit can be bound and trapped and tied up because you are so wound up with issues and drama in this world, you can't go to the spirit world. We've been talking about this in the last couple of weeks. Well, tonight, I'm thinking this is a question I have for you, is since we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, we should talk about the true power of God's grace and how easy it is to achieve it, to have it. It's there waiting for everyone, except they just don't get it. It's not that they're really big sinners. It's not that they're robbing banks and looting and pillaging. They can be going to a building 7 days a week. They could be leaving the building that you were just at, Grace Christian Fellowship in Newtown, Connecticut. But that doesn't necessarily mean that their prayers were heard, that it even was a prayer, and they could literally go their entire lives, and if they're alone or you put them on a lie detector test with a sack over their head so you don't know who they are and you say, do you believe in God's grace? They're going to say, no, haven't seen it. Sounds great. Would love to have some, but I that's about all I can tell you about God's grace.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people like that, isn't there?
Well, there is, and you know, when you mention the word, we've been talking about sin, I think some people might even get the wrong idea there. And just for a second to even add some thoughts to what you said, which actually was really, really good. If you've been tuning in to what we've been saying, you know exactly what BJ said. But for all the new listeners, when we talk about sin, we're not talking about condemning you because you did this, you did that, and we're trying to point out all your faults. What we're doing is we're revealing to you the deception that is in our world and all the things in this world that have potential of hindering your spirit and its ability to fellowship with God, which is tantamount to saying that all these things in the earth are really of no spiritual value, and anything in this earth can be potentially turned into sin. And people got to realize that, because we're living in a world that we've basically been fed a way of existence from people that don't even know God. And who's to say that we haven't hindered God's power and His grace possibly all day long from being a part of our lives? That's why it's so important to reveal hindrances.
Oh, yeah. And see, in the hindrance, okay, here's a hindrance. When we had a meeting at your house one time, I pointed at the coffee table and I said, that coffee table is sin. And everybody looked at me like I was nuts. And
yeah.
Well, you did too, because I didn't warn you. Well, I never warn you what I'm going to say. And,
right.
And frankly, it's more festive that way, isn't it, Jim?
I think on my feet a lot with you.
Okay. Well, here, I'm going to make this really short. Why can a coffee table, why can a piece of furniture be considered sin? Well, I'll tell you why. Okay, let's say that this is a family, mom and dad, everybody works and they're on a budget. Mom decides that she's at the furniture store and she wants this coffee table, and they're saying it's discontinued and it's on sale. Well, she asks dad if she can buy the coffee table, and dad says, we can't afford a coffee table. I don't even know where we would put it. We don't need a coffee table. Well, mom goes ahead and buys it. Well, now all of a sudden that coffee table is now a divider. It's just like putting a steel maul on
sure
a log and hitting it with a hammer, and you're splitting that log. You're splitting the husband and wife over a coffee table. Well, now that causes trouble. The fact that she bought the coffee table, that she went against what she agreed with her husband or wife, turn it around and make it a bass boat, make it a dirt bike, make it a frozen pizza, or make it a hot fried sundae when you're a diabetic. When you do things of a worldly nature that are kind of selfish, that have nothing to do with God, and they're going to have a negative outcome, and you think there might be a chance of it, that is sin, because it's a distraction, and it takes your spirit away from God. Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it was really, really good what you're saying, because it immediately brought up the idea when you said it's a divider. What came up to me while you were saying that is, it's a device. It's a device that can be used to pull you away from your enjoyment of God's presence and immediately entangle you in things that are of this world and produce a myriad of emotions and negative attitudes and sinful thoughts and actions. And this goes right to a really good verse, BJ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 that says, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And what you just described was the devil's devices. And you know, the interesting thing about that is, and I think you'll have a nice comment to this, is we think the devil's devices is like the Grim Reaper with this big sickle. But he has no power. So his devices are using the things that are in this world as distractions so that we end up living a life full of obstacles that keep us from God. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and see, it's true. People always look for the dramatics. They look for these big, ominous things and say, oh, that's the devil's behind it. The devil isn't behind anything, because he's powerless. He's been defeated by Christ. He has no power. He has no significance. And the only thing that gives him power, the only thing that gives him significance, is when an individual human being, which is not of this world, not of this flesh, a spirit being that's trapped, and their mouth and their mind, which have nothing to do with the spirit being, says, thinks, does ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Because really, If I'm the devil, which a lot of people figure I probably am, I mean, you know, it's up for grabs, and I'm not sure which way I'd bet. If I wanted to make money, I might go for devil. But the point is here is that I would just say, you know, I can't do anything. I can't convince you to do anything. I have no power. God has defeated me. I'm just kind of hanging around waiting for revelations. And, you know, if you want to lie, if you want to cheat on your husband or wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend, if you kind of want to steal from your job, if you want to lie to your friends, if you want to do drugs, if you kind of want to have a little bit too much to drink every day, you know, I can't help you do that. I can't show you how to do it. But, you know, since I am the devil, I think I'll take credit for it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And at the same time, the devil looks up at heaven and says, there you go, God. I had nothing to do with it. You beat me fair and square, but yet they're still sinning. Ah, ha, 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 ha. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about the, you know, the laugh, but, you know.
Well, the laugh actually was pretty convincing, but we do know from Scripture, Revelation and the 12th chapter, that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And we've talked about this before. He's bringing accusations, endeavoring to trap you in these webs of deception with all kinds of doubt and all kinds of feelings of remorse and regret and feelings of condemnation to just pull you down and keep you at a level where you're conscious of nothing but this world and your faults and your failures. And that's something that he'll get right in with our negative decisions we make. And like you said, take credit for it. Jump on board and say, you guys are doing really good. You're convincing yourself that you just will never be successful. You'll never get out of this one. In fact, I'm going to help you with that. No, you never will. And it just goes from bad to ugly. And all of this, BJ, as we're talking about God's grace, the glory of it is that just one acknowledgement of God and His grace and His absoluteness to bless you and to move on your behalf immediately brings your heart into fellowship and communion with the power of God to set you free.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, that's why a coffee table can be sin. That's why a bicycle. That's why all of a sudden, you're one or two mortgage payments behind on your home, and somebody comes home and says, you know, I went to the travel agency. I think we should go on a cruise. It's only $700 each. That's only $1,400, and we get to go on a cruise for 4 days, and we don't have to pay anything except for what we gamble and we drink. And the other person in the relationship is saying, $1,400?
Right.
That's how much we're in the rears on our house payments. And
right.
You want to go to Cabo? Are you kidding me? Well, guess what? The travel agency, the tickets, the cruise line, the entire idea is a manifestation of dumb stupidity, sin on somebody's part because they're sidetracked.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And here's what's really sad. Everybody succumbs to it on a level that they just don't realize it is so simplistic and easy.
Well, BJ, I would want to add to that. Everybody succumbs to it because no one is talking about it, and I'm not lifting up this show, but the things that we're talking about give people a fighting chance to acknowledge God's grace and begin to step into the salvation that they have. But if we don't talk about it and reveal it, they end up fellowshipping with things that take them click, click, click away from God. And before they know it, they feel so lifeless. There's no communion with God, and they feel full of condemnation. And really, in that kind of situation or manifestation of feeling so much of a failure, there's no way out unless you understand what we're talking about and will acknowledge God.
Well, yeah, you're too nice, and you know, this is your show, but this isn't my show, and I'm not really nice at all. And so I'm going to say it. There's virtually hardly any churches. There are no buildings that want to talk about this, because if you talk about the simplicity of sin, if you talk about the availability of it, and how 99.99999% of the time, it isn't the devil, it isn't someone that hates you, it's your own ridiculous thoughts and focusing on the world and things that have nothing to do with God that actually cause things to go wrong. And that is sinful, because when you turn towards the world, When you turn towards the flesh, you're turning away from God. The spirit does not have the capabilities to multitask. You can't be praying and thinking about Christ and thinking about shoplifting a Snickers bar. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And people don't want to, nobody wants to say that but you. And the reason that not very many people want to talk about it, because then they have to be held accountable to it themselves.
Yeah.
And it says right in the book, those who preach will be judged more harshly. Basically, what it means is if you're full of crap and you're lying to people and you're taking their money so that you can have a big building and a big television show and all this money and all these clothes and everything, you're not helping them and you're not helping yourself because you don't even know what you're doing. And it's all sin-based.
Yeah, well, that's where all the confusion comes, BJ. And
to the average person, straighten out. Help us.
Yeah. Well, you know, and to our comments, I want to continue to reiterate to folks, because if we were trying to talk about sin and telling you, you need to start cleaning your life up, you need to get your act right, stop doing this, stop doing that, we would do nothing more than fill your mind full of what you're not able to do in your own ability. But what we're doing is turning lights on so that you can see how this world has been turned against us. Begin to make some wise decisions that are so simple, even though your flesh may scream at you at first, but they're so simple they'll begin to enhance your spirit's ability to fellowship with God. And the coolest thing about it is acknowledging the finished work of Jesus Christ, acknowledging our identity with his success and not with our failure, turning our eyes toward what we have in his goodness instead of getting your eyes on all of your trouble is the way to get out of this. And that's why it's so important that we actually have these conversations. And I'm right with you on it.
Yeah, you know, I just came up with a perfect topic for this show, and I think we'll probably talk about it next week. Let's talk about repent, because what you're talking about is repent. And there's a lot of buildings out there and a lot of people standing in three-piece, very expensive suits, pointing their fingers at a whole building full of people and telling them, you better repent, you better feel guilty, you better know that you're a sinner and that there's sin all over you, because that's not God's grace.
No, it's not.
There's no forgiveness there.
Not at all.
No, that's just judging and accusations and pretty much laying a guilt trip on a whole building full of people that got dressed up on a Sunday morning to come listen to this nitwit.
Yeah, I want to ask something of you, BJ, because this will be really good for the listeners to hear.
I've been saved since I'm
4. You've been saved now for about 197 days, going on 200 days.
That's right.
And so let me ask you the question. If you're sitting under what you just described, someone sitting there, you better stop this, you better stop that, how successful are you going to be at turning away from the thing that you don't want to be?
Well, you can't. And it's literally, people say nothing's impossible. Oh, no. There's a lot of things that are impossible when it comes to Christianity and believing in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, because they're absolute. When you say that everything is possible, that nothing is ever out of the question, what you've basically said is that you're grading on a curve and that you can change your mind and you're pretty much going to blow with whichever way the wind is going. But when you say that there are some things that are impossible, not everything can happen, and that there is good and there is bad and there is sin and there is grace and there's nothing in between, well, that's really absolute. You've just described God.
And
you've just described how you need to look at things. And it's not about being perfect, but repent just means, look, you made a mistake. And you say, you know, I really don't like what I said. I really don't like what I do. That's not who I want to be. And it really made my ears bleed as the words were coming out of my big fat mouth. I don't think I want to do that anymore. I'm going to try not to do it. And I am so grateful that Jesus Christ forgives all my sins, and that he's smart enough, and he's all-knowing, all-encompassing. There's no limits, no boundaries on his love, because he knew before I was born that on this day I was going to do this and say this.
Yeah.
And that's what it means by he forgives all sins, and they were forgiven before you do them, because I don't know how else to describe that.
Yeah, well, it's David made a great comment. He said, blessed is the man whose sins are no longer imparted unto him, and or in other words, put to his account. And every scripture that you see about Jesus with sin, it says things like, he's forgiven all of your iniquity. It's all inclusive. Well, the reason God's done that is because at that point, then, if he hasn't forgiven you of all sin, then we've got a question about his grace. But because it's absolute that all sin is gone, then it also means the grace of God is all-encompassing and absolute as well. And this is, you know, your law of opposites. But, no, I wanted people to hear, BJ, from you, because it's awesome to see what God's doing in your life so quickly to be able to comprehend some of these things. And you and I have been talking for months and just share with one another, and you've come up with amazing insights that have helped me, as well as things that we've talked about that have helped one another. And it's a great thing for folks to realize that, my goodness, get away. If people are sitting there pointing a finger at you and making you feel guilty and trying to tell you, you better not, and you better not, and you better not, well, you're under condemnation. What we're talking about is revealing to you that it's time to turn the lights on and see that this world has ensnared us, and making simple choices to acknowledge God's grace and living by his power and his love is available for you all day long.
Yeah, and you know what's really sad is you know, I talk about it on a show all the time. I'll run into people and they'll say, what's new? And I'll say, you know, I don't make a big deal about it because you really... it just offends people, which is really sad about, you know, a testament to our civilization, how far we've gotten away from God. But, you know, I'll say, well, you know, I believe in God. I've been praying. I started a new radio show with faith-based grace prayers for healing. Real good guy named Jim. And they go, what? And they go, and they think it's one of my, you know, twisted jokes. And they say, oh, come on. There's nothing about you that even says or looks like a Christian. And I'll say, oh. And then they'll say, well, I'll say, why not? And they'll say, well, look at you. You're covered with dirt. You're in a pair of Wranglers and boots. You got spurs on your boots. Your hair's long. You know, you look like you just robbed a stagecoach. And you're telling me that you have a relationship with God now? And I says, well, yeah, but it's about our spirit. It's not really about, you know, the flesh and our shell. And then, you know, it's like I get the dog look. Everybody knows what the dog look is. It's like when you look at your dog and you say something and your dog doesn't know what it is, it turns its head and its eyes get kind of glassy and just stares at you. Well, you know, they give me the dog look, and then they say, "Oh, come on, are you really saved? Do you really pray?" And I say, "No, no, it's just another one of my twisted, dry sense of humor jokes." And they go, "I knew it." And then I say, "Do you pray?" And they go, "Well, no, but." And I go, "Do you believe in God?" And they go, "Oh, I don't know, I suppose." And I'm sitting there thinking, "Well, how sad is that?" You know, that in itself, okay, and the reason I'm saying this is not to be glib, but to make a really valid point. That conversation, not my part of the conversation, but, well, actually it is in a sense, but the part of the constant where it says, I don't know, no, I don't pray, oh, I guess there could be, I suppose, that is sin because you've literally turned your back on God.
Yeah, you've turned your back on God.
And, you know, that's actually one of the worst sins you can do is to not acknowledge God.
Right.
Because think about it, if you went home and all your clothes are out on the front lawn and all your bedroom furniture is gone and your bedroom has been turned into a rumpus room with a pool table and ping pong table and a... and a pinball machine and a little stereo and flat screen TV on the wall. And you go, what happened to my bedroom? Where's my furniture? Where's my bed? Where's all my clothes? Where all my stuff? And then you go downstairs because it's supper time. Your mom says, come on, it's time to eat. And you go downstairs and there's not a chair for you. There's four people in your family, but there's only three chairs at the table. There's only three plates, and they're serving each other, and they're talking to each other, and you're invisible, and you don't, and you're wondering, what happened to my life? Why does my mom and my dad and my sibling ignoring me? I'm invisible. What's happened? It's breaking my heart. I'm in a panic. Well, what do they think happens when a child of God doesn't acknowledge their father?
Yeah.
Is he really going to answer a prayer when all of a sudden when the stuff hits the fan and you go, oh, please, God, please, God, please, God? Well, he does. Why? Because he forgives all of our sins and he just wants to be acknowledged. That in itself shows the all-encompassing, no limit, no boundaries of God, right?
Yeah, the love of God, right. And as you were talking, I was thinking about a verse in Romans 1 and 24 that says, "Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And so, of course, that's talking about people that have never known God. But the point is that we really are living in an environment that is full of people that continue on a daily basis to worship the creature rather than the Creator and don't acknowledge God. And the sad thing is, we as believers who have Jesus in our hearts, how, in a sense, it's almost worse because we've got a living reality of God in our hearts, and we refuse on a daily basis to keep reminding ourselves or acknowledging God's presence, which is really, when you think about it, such a disrespect to our Father, that He's there, He's living in us, He's a reality that is greater than anything that's of this natural or earthly world, and we cease to acknowledge Him. And that is such folly, and it's really sad because unless we hear things like we're talking about, people don't even actually think that this is something that exists.
Yeah, and it is. It's extremely, extremely heartbreaking. And, you know, it was real interesting. Somebody says, "You doing the show tonight?" And I says, "Yeah," and because they asked because they knew that you were out of town. They said, "Where's Jim?" And I says, "Well, we're rushing to get as much bail money collected as we can." You know, and they go, "What? Bail money, Jim?" Well, and then they go, "Oh, BJ." And I says, "Well, hey, don't get mad at me. You're the one that assumed that Jim Huckaday even needed bail money, and you're getting mad at me." And I said, and they go, "Oh, that's a good point." And they said, "What's the hardest thing for you since you've been saved?" And they says, "How many days is it now?" And I told them, and they says, "What's the hardest thing for you?" And I said, "I'll tell you exactly what the hardest thing is. And the more enlightened I become, the closer to God I become, the harder it is for me to do." And I asked you about this, and we talk about this in my living room out at the ranch. And I said, the hardest thing is when you see people that don't have a good relationship with God and they don't know it. It's heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
And they go, "What do you mean?" And I says, "Well, these people, they think they're going to a church, and it's not a church, it's a building. They think they're praying and that their prayers will be answered, and they're not prayers. And they think that they're not being sinful, and they are. And it's not because they're not just the greatest person in the world. Almost everybody on the planet has a better heart than I do. And that's not it. It's because they have been misled, misinformed. They're not stupid, because you can't fix stupid. They're ignorant. And ignorant just means that they do not have the appropriate amount of accurate, truthful, factual information so that they can make some spiritual adjustments and advance their enlightenment with God. Yes or no?"
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And why God is helping to enlighten us along the way, and to give us understanding in our relationships, both you and I, and, of course, obviously our friendship too, but our personal relationships with God is continuing to grow and develop, and the more it grows and develops, the more we begin to see more of what you just said. So it's really an interesting thought. You develop in God your clarity of Him, who He is, not just what He said in the Bible, but the true relationship of spending time with Him becomes more real. And as it becomes more real, when you turn about face and then look back at the world, it's amazing. You begin to see with greater clarity how many people are living an existence that has very little or nothing to do with God, all in the name of scriptures that they're quoting, and words and phrases that they're using that sound so religious, and in one sense, they're click, click, click away from God's absoluteness. And that is really sad. So that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, and speaking of doing things, we're just about halfway through the show, Jim. We need to take a quick break here for just a second. You give you a chance to stand up, run around the room, get a drink of water.
Okay.
I want to, when we come back, I'd like to address some of the emails that we've had, some of the testimonies.
Good.
I think you're going to like them when I read them to you, okay?
Yes. Great.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. This is the first show of its kind ever. And you can send your emails to, you can go on the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com. And you'll see where it says contact the show. You can send us an email and you can just say, you know, I like the show. I'm listening here. I'm listening there. And when you do send an email, make sure that you say whether you want your name mentioned or whether this testimony is for the eyes of Jim and myself or if you want us to pray. We've prayed for all kinds of people. We've just asked, hey, if you listen to the show in the next 7 days, 24 hours a day when we loop it, pray for this person. We've done that. Also, we've got a mailing address. You can throw whatever you want in an envelope and we'll do the right thing with that as well. Just goes with this. And if you've just tuned in for the first time, we do this show live every Wednesday night from the central part of the United States of America. The reason I'm saying that is the show is being broadcast in about 17, 18 countries. We have people listening, and we're going to get to these testimonies right now. Jim, are you there?
I am.
Okay, well, that was the break. And what I want to do now is I want to go to these testimonies. And let me get them up off here on the, let's see.
Let's not forget our testimony that we have here, too, from the meeting.
Yeah, that was a good testimony, but I'm kind of hoping that maybe after she hears the show and sees that it's not a big deal that she'll want to do that testimony, because it's always better when, I mean, you're there right now, and, you know, and even though you told her she was going to be talking all over the world, I mean, you poor woman, you know, I'm surprised she didn't faint on you.
I think I scared her.
No, don't think about it. I told you, you did. Okay, speaking of people that have been on the show a lot, we've got Fred, who's got a church in Germany, and he's just a really good guy. They're doing a lot of good things at his church, and it is a church, by the way, in Germany. It says, hello, Jim and BJ. I just wanted to let you know how much I like and appreciate your radio show. It is encouraging, uplifting, and challenging at the same time. My desire is to grow and develop in God more and more so his glory can be seen in a greater measure by everyone around me. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that's a good testament from a guy who's got a church and some people's spirits under his wing. I haven't missed a single show from the beginning and listen to it usually when I drive around in my car. Well, I don't know how safe that is. Keep on going, guys. You are doing a great job. Jim, I found out through your website. Jim's got his own website, Jim Hockaday. Just Google it and you'll go to it. Jim, I found out through your website you will be in Milan, Italy at the end of October. It was really my heart's desire to be in these meetings, and God made a way for me to come. I'm looking forward to these days with great excitement, expecting manifestations of God's glory and goodness. You can mention anything from this email on the air, including my name, if you see fit. Well, it would have been nice if he put that at the top, but anyway. Yeah, you want to put that at the top, ladies and gentlemen. Perfect example is this right here. Blessings from Fred from Germany. Okay, well, here's the deal. Okay, you're going to be in Milan at the end of this month, right?
Yes.
Doing the same thing that you did this week in Newtown, Connecticut at Grace Christian Fellowship, Barry and Sheila Frederick's place, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You got to get a picture of Fred. You got one of those fancy phones that got the little thingamajig camera in it, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, take your little doohickey thing and get a picture of Fred.
Okay, I will.
And also, are you going to be in Italy on the 31st of October?
I think I'm going to be coming back. Let me see real quickly. I'm going to be coming back on the 31st. Let's look at it here. Yes, I'm headed back on the 31st. I head out Tuesday the 25th, and I do a meeting in Manchester, England, the 26th and 27th, fly to Milan on the 28th, do a meeting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 30th, and then come back on the 31st.
Okay. I got a real long email here I'm going to read you, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. It's this is the lady's name is Barbara, and it's about repentance. How timely is that? Okay, here's a, that's what it, her subject title just says. Subject: repentance. This is from Barbara.
Right. Right.
A young woman that I work with was in the break room having an open philosophical discussion with those around her. I listened for a little while until I heard her say, "Our past defines us. It determines who we are today." She expressed a thankfulness for everything that she had gone through in her life up until that point, particularly the bad things. That seems good, but is it? Does our past really define us? Sometimes I think we hear things like that, accept them, and repeat them as truth without giving it further thought or holding it up to the light to see if it really is right thinking. Doesn't that kind of thinking give us an excuse to just accept whatever comes our way? Are we really supposed to do that? Is that what a conqueror does? Since it was an open dialogue, I had to interject and say that I disagreed with that statement. She seemed interested, so I explained from here. I have a view that I call Rifke's philosophy. I got it from watching The Lion King. If you remember the story, the young lion Simba ran away from home because he felt responsible for his father's death. The guilt and the shame he carried was so great that he could no longer bear to be with his family. The death of his father was actually a setup by his evil uncle to steal the throne, and Simba was not responsible, but he believed he was, so he ran away. While out in the jungle, he met new friends who didn't know anything of his past. He hung out with them, and they partied and they played every day. In the meantime, back home on the plains, the pride of lions was being oppressed by his evil uncle who took the throne in Simba's absence. He was running the pride into extinction to satisfy his own evil desires, and everyone was in fear and despair. Okay, I got to fast forward this. And it says, the truth is that the past is just the past, even if it just happened a few minutes ago. All we really have to have is now, and it's our now. We do in that now time that defines and creates our future. If we spend our now time thinking about the past, we will just sit down and spin and never move forward in the destiny that God has for us. That is what repentance is. It is simply changing the direction you are going, deciding, I am not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do that instead. Once the decision is truly made, it's not hard. If it's hard or if there is a great struggle, then you really haven't made up your mind yet. The grace of God lies in the realization that we can change any time we want because He has given us the power to do it. We are not stuck in repeating history. We are not stuck with, well, that's just the way I am. It's the way it's always been. What can I do? God has made us to be powerful new beings that are on top of everything that comes our way, whether it appears that way or not. I like that.
She's done a very good job, hasn't she?
She really did, and I didn't paraphrase it. I just left some of the Simba lion stuff out. But, I mean, you know, well, we've only got so much time. I'm sorry about that. But no, but the point is it goes to repent, what we're talking about.
Right, correct.
That all you need to do is consider it and to think about it. Now, on these lines, what's your comment? What's your feel about what she said, and how does it apply to what we're talking about this evening?
Well, it's extremely important that we understand this. I mean, the only thing about your past that you need to be aware of, and that is, are you continuing to walk through life not acknowledging God's grace and being entangled in things that you've just known from your past? But the way that you live and the way that you get out of that is by turning your focus from your past to Jesus Christ. In other words, the thing that we now identify our lives with is the success of Christ, the life that He lived, because His life is now in our hearts. And He, by His Spirit, has come to dwell in us. And our spirit is no longer entangled with the affairs of this world. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And simple acknowledgement of God's grace, which has to do with our redemption in Christ and the identification with Jesus and His life, is the way that His power will actually set you free and put your course on victory where it's been nothing but failure. So if I could say it simpler than this, I'd say, yes, she's done a great job to dismiss the idea that you're going to continue to wallow around in your failure and let your past define you. We're not letting our past define us. Jesus Christ now defines us. God's love defines us. God's grace defines us. And when you turn your attention from the things of this world, place your attention on Christ, that's when you begin to live.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, how do you, okay, there's somebody that's listening right now somewhere, or they're going to listen in the next 7 days when this thing repeats itself 24 hours, 7 days a week for free on the loop. And they're going to say, okay, how do I make this work? What's the first thing that I should do? What's the first thing that I need to do? How do you answer that question?
Well, I'm going to use a scripture so everybody realizes this. What everything that we're saying here is just scripturally based, which is, without getting on a tangent, but just mentioning it, which is another sad thought that we use the Bible so often and don't see some of the wonderful things that we're talking about that are all through Scripture. But over in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice what Paul did. He identified that he was no longer living this life because now Jesus had come to take possession of his heart, and he was acknowledging that his new life was about his spirit and not about his flesh. So you say, what's the way to get started in this? To begin to acknowledge God's grace in your life and recognize that you are a spirit. God is now living in your spirit, and your future success is wrapped up in the life of Jesus Christ and his grace to bless your life. That's how you get started.
Okay. All right. Now, my next question is, okay, well, you get started, and you're making these decisions, and you're getting, see, this is the other thing that people don't consider that they really need to, and this is the other part of that sad equation I talk about. The more enlightened I become and the longer I've been saved, the more it saddens me to see how people are, well, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. They're kind of clueless, but it's not really their fault. And that is that, okay, they're trying, but all their coworkers, all their friends, all the people they hang out with, and maybe even the people in their home, their own family, does not support this decision to turn towards God, doesn't agree with this decision, and actually tries to prevent it with trying to say, you know, your behavior is not that bad. There's no reason for you to go over the deep end and become a Bible thumper. You know what? And so all of a sudden, it's like the only person who thinks they should have a relationship with God is this tiny little voice inside them.
Right.
But when you talk about the world says, what are you talking about? You don't want to be one of those irritating Christians, those Bible thumpers that knock on your door in the morning and, you know, want you to pay $40 for a car wash and, you know, buy $80 worth of three cookies at a bake sale. Are you kidding me? And they're swamped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, when they ask that question, as they listen to the show, what do you tell them, Jim? What do you say?
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to, and I believe I chose the right verse for the last question, and that same verse fits perfectly for this question, and yet you can find it everywhere in the Bible. When Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, notice what he did. He devalued everything that is of the natural world and put more value and worth on Jesus Christ. And that is absolutely so important in the midst of being distracted by people, even some that you love, that you have to realize when you follow the Lord Jesus, your first love is him, because you're recognizing that you're now of your spirit. And that doesn't mean when we talk to people that we love or people that we don't, we sit there and condemn them, make them feel bad for not having a relationship with Christ. It just means very sincerely that you don't allow things of this world to distract you and confuse you, that Jesus Christ becomes the new love of your life, and that voice you're talking about, BJ, becomes the real strength and conviction of why every day is amazing, even if there are people that don't understand.
Okay, I got another question. Are you ready?
I am.
Are you having fun?
I am.
That's not the question. I'm not. You think I'm going to like throw you a slow pitch?
Yeah,
no.
I answered it.
Well, yeah, that's kind of handy considering you're not in the studio and you're in Newtown, Connecticut, USA, at Grace Christian Fellowship. Hanging out with Barry and Sheila Fredericks. I wonder if they're listening.
Which means I can't look at you to see if you're being conniving, and I really have to get ready for this question or whether I can relax.
When you're in the studio and we're only 2.5 feet apart, can you tell then if I'm being conniving? No.
Sometimes I see the look in your eye.
Really?
Yeah, well, and I know it's a woozy. I better get ready for it.
See,
so let's see what you got.
See, that's not loving your fellow man. That's being judgmental. and that is sin. Shame on you, Jim Huckaday. I'm just a poor, innocent little Christian trying to fight my way through the world, and my co-host is sandbagging me. Okay.
I'm ready for your question.
Okay. So let's take this another step. Okay. They're trying, and they're making an honest effort. But they see that even though it's really simple to make a decision to turn towards God, to find Christianity, to change your life, repent, whatever word you want to put on it, start over, born again, whatever, they notice that it's actually seems, it appears. Now notice the words I'm using, seems, appears, it pretends, it looks like. It's so much easier to forget about it and just go back to the way they were because they're not seeing instant results. And the reason they're not seeing instant results is because we, and I mean we as a civilization, not just people in Oklahoma or Newtown, Connecticut, I'm talking about we as every mammal, two-legged mammal, human being that walks the face of the planet, we're basically trained for instant coffee, drive up windows,
correct,
24 hours, 7 days a week, radio shows, microwave popcorn, everything is instant divorce, instant marriage. If you're having trouble having a baby, guess what? You can have one instantly through artificial insemination. So if everything of this world is instant and quick, well, then obviously instant and quick may not apply to the spirit world in the same instant and quick way it does to this world. And so it's difficult for people to say, you know, I'm plugging along, Jim. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to be saved. And oh, man, this is work. This is just not going well. And I'm not seeing any results at all. What do you tell them? What do you say?
Okay. All right. Well, two things I'm going to tell you. I believe this is really helpful. Number one, Jesus did say, when he was with the disciples, he made the comment. He said that, I'm getting ready to go, and you're not going to be able to follow me. That was in John chapter 13. And, of course, the disciples said, well, where in the world are you going that we're not going to be able to follow you? And Jesus said, well, I'm going, basically, he was going to go to heaven. And he said this comment, though, in John 16, because that whole passage is preparing the disciples for when he's not there, when they would be alone. And so Jesus made reference to the fact, and this is what he said. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, another helper, and it's going to be to your advantage. So number one, when things are difficult, that's where God is available by his Spirit to bring comfort to your heart and to bring peace to your heart and to bring love to your heart. And the second thing I'm going to say is this, where you're struggling and you need knowledge, that's why the scriptures say, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's in Hebrews chapter 10:25, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we'd say to that individual, that's why you need to be on this radio show. That's why you need to tune in. That's why you need to find a building that's a real church where people are leading you and helping you to find a relationship with Christ where you can be encouraged. Because the scriptures that we're showing you and the relationship that we are giving you, that God is giving us, is extremely encouraging to someone to come out of any type of depression where you feel lonely and realize God is with you. Because the last thing you want to do is revert right back into the confusion that's of many spirits that are in this world that don't even know that God exists, don't recognize the significance of your spirit in fellowship with God's spirit, and live life really out of the flesh. You don't want to do that.
Okay, now we've got about 10, 11 minutes left of the show, Jim. I wanted to let you know, and we got to do a little housekeeping chores here and tell you that since you're far, far away from the studio.
Correct.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to address, I want to put all this together into a concise little package that gives people a chance to think about this and possibly suggest that maybe somebody they know, somebody they're related to, someone they care about, that might want to listen to the show, because we've got them thinking. We've got them thinking, but now we need to kind of make this a complete circle and bring it back to square one, because we don't want to leave them hanging here. And what I mean by hanging here is that just like everything in life, when you were a little kid, you ate dirt, you ate paste, you ate bugs. You pretty much, if you could get it in your grimy little paws, it went into your mouth. That's
right.
The way of children.
Right.
Okay. Well, there is a type of spiritual child. There's a type of Christ-like development, maturities,
sure.
Growing up spiritually. Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Well, explain to people then that the more that they pray, the more they read scripture, the more that they try to just one day say, okay, today I'm going to smoke half as many cigarettes as I did yesterday. And they try to do that every couple days. Or they say, you know, I'm just going to have one less drink. I'm not even going to stop and have a drink. I'm just going to go on home and surprise my family and have that extra time with them sober. The more they do these little things, it literally snowballs exponentially, and all of a sudden, they don't have to worry about committing sins or being sinful because they're so...
They lose the desire.
They lose... Explain that, because I think that's important, and I think that's a good way to wrap this up, because it's losing that desire, that spiritual, I guess, evolution, development, the spiritual maturity, growing up spiritually, really, that's really the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, isn't it?
Oh, man, it really, really is, BJ.
Explain that to people, please.
Well, I'll explain it by giving you a verse that says in Philippians 2:13, "For God is all the while at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." And one of the translations says, "For God is all the while effectually at work in you, creating in you and empowering you with desire and ability to do his will, pleasure, satisfaction, and delight." Folks, now we've come full circle right back to the beginning of the show where we're talking about God's grace. And the small little decisions you make to honor God and put value on God and your relationship with Jesus, as BJ said, begins to snowball into the grace of God, even eliminating desires and causing his ability in your heart to begin to produce new desires and a heart full of love for the things of God. And you find yourself not just saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead and honor my family and my children and go home tonight and not even have that drink. And you move so quickly, exponentially fast, from that one decision to give God value and to honor your family into the next night you don't even have a struggle with it. And to the next night where you don't even want it anymore. And God's ability and grace is so abundant, you can't ever outdo God, and you'll never get to the end of God's grace. It's unlimited. It's so absolute that if you'll begin to honor God and give value and place value on your spirit and your relationship with God's spirit, God's grace is free-flowing. You'll release your spirit to experience God. And experiencing God, my friends, and this is where we're getting close to wrapping some things up, but experiencing God is to know another kind of life. And this is a really interesting thought, but for some that are out there that think, that sounds really good, but man, I'm so trapped. Well, here's the interesting part. One touch of the Lord, another touch of the Lord, one small decision to honor the Lord, knowing that yielding to that which is of this world just ensnares you, and one decision to give God your value begins to create in you the presence of God, His glory, and what you thought was difficult today, tomorrow turns into, I am so hungry for Jesus. I just want to love the Lord. And it doesn't take long because God's grace is so grand that click, 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 you're right back on track. You're beginning to see things through the eyes of the Lord, and you recognize the folly that's in this earth. And it doesn't mean you can't have fun at all. What it means is you begin to actually experience fun described through the eyes of the Lord, where your heart finally is able to rest and be at peace. And everyone that's out there listening right now, I want to just say a special prayer for you. It's just going to take a moment, and then I know I'll turn it back over to BJ because we only have about 5 minutes left in our broadcast tonight. But what a wonderful time it's been. We trust that you've just absorbed this into your heart, and your mind right now is beginning to think of things you've never thought of before, because that's the beginning of making simple decisions that you haven't made before that really begin to give you the experience with God. But let me pray right now for you. Father, by your wonderful grace and mercy and love, I thank you for the people that are listening and that will listen over the course of this next week to this broadcast. I know, Lord, that some of them are questioning and wondering because of the distractions that they're confronted with, maybe even through those that are family members or close to them, all the way to the entrappings and the ensnaring of this world that we're in, and we may feel like we can't get out. Lord, we see in Scripture where Paul prayed that you would give unto them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, you, Lord. And I'm asking you tonight to give every listener the spirit of wisdom and revelation and help them to begin to see. Paul's next part says, open the eyes of their understanding. And tonight I'm asking you to open their eyes that what they're hearing would begin to see how simple it is to make small decisions to honor you and the grace of God be so manifold in their life. In other words, be so large and amazing and abundant that from this very moment, as I pray this prayer, they begin to experience your heart. Father, I know that from this moment to the next time we get together with these people, we'll have testimonies coming in on our emails that life has turned around and things are changing and God is doing it exponentially, quick and fast. And so we honor your grace tonight and thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, you know, I always like those. I always like it when you do a prayer at the end of the show. It was really good with the music and everything. It's nice. I like it.
Good.
I'm trusting
the people will enjoy it as well.
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, we've got an email address, and they can write us letters, and they can honestly send us or tell us whatever they want. You know, and it's going to accept. You know, we're just here. We're just like them. We are them.
Yes, and don't we have a P.O. box too, BJ?
We do. We have a post office box in Bixby, Oklahoma. It's on the Contact Us page where they can send us an instant email.
Good.
Yeah, that's where the P.O. box is. It's on that same thing. I check it about once a week when I go to the feed store. I got to go to the feed store every week and buy a couple tons of feed. But, we've got the P.O. box and that. And I thought that, you know, for being, you know, we did well since you're on the road.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun to, you know, to change it up a little bit like this. And, of course, you know, we couldn't help but have to do it this way. But BJ did a great job tonight, and I'm just really excited about the people and their growth and development. And I really, really encourage everyone, as BJ's made mention, go to the website and begin to look at some of the articles where you'll begin to hear some of the things. You'll be able to read some of the things that you've heard tonight. And meditate on these things and let your mind consider them, and you'll end up really beginning to see life from a different perspective.
And just to let you know, Jim, we set a new record tonight for this broadcast.
Wonderful.
Yeah, last week we set a new record for the amount of people that were listening, and tonight we beat it by 2 points. And so we just set another, this is the second week in a row that we've set a new record for listeners. I just wanted to let you know that since you're on the road.
Well, that's amazing. And I want to take just 15 seconds of our last minute and a half to just say thank you so much to Pastor Barry and Sheila Fredericks. And I'm using Pastor Adam's office. And the church was wonderful. They just blessed me so much. And the people were so great. And they listened so intently. And God did, as he always does, wonderful, wonderful spiritual miracles, signs and wonders and great things in the hearts and lives of everyone. And it was just the most normal thing that could have happened. It was a great time here in Newtown, Connecticut. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I think what we ought to, folks, I'd like you to invite you wherever you are, just after the show or in the next 7 days, 24 hours a day when you listen to this broadcast, I'd like you to just send an email and say, I was listening to the show in Jacksonville, Florida. I was listening to the show in San Antonio, Texas. I was listening to the show in Newtown, Connecticut. Wherever you are, just send us just a short email. Say whatever you want, or you can put it in an envelope. The reason we have a P.O. box is because you might have someone listen to the show. You might load up the show on your Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or other, ridiculous electronic things on the internet. But whatever you do, that's why we have a P.O. box. So that if somebody does hear the show and they're not using a computer or they don't have the ability to email, believe it or not, a lot of people don't, they can send us a letter. And you know what I'd like you to do is, if you do pray, whether you do or not, it's none of my business. That's your business. That's your business with God. That's your own ranger theory. Look up ranger theory if you want to know what I'm talking about right now. That's your own ranger. When you pray, just pray for the other people that listen to this show, because they're just like you. They're just like me. They're just like Jim. They're just like everybody in Newtown, Connecticut at Grace Christian Fellowship. Just take a moment and just include them in your prayers and just say, Jesus, for all the people that are listening to the Abiding Presence Internet radio show, help them like you're going to help me. Be positive with your prayers. Know that it's already done. Doubt, ladies and gentlemen, is a very big sin. For Jim Huckaday, I'm BJ Rickard. You've been listening to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. We'll be here next Wednesday night. Jim, fly safe and bring me some candy from Newtown, Connecticut.
Okay.
Something good. Don't be cheap this time.
Okay.
See you later, folks. All right, bye.